Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Crocher. Water and websites. Over the last century, farmers in southern Alberta have given explorer John Palliser a run for his money. With the aid of irrigation, agriculture has become the engine that drives the economy of the very dry, water-poor southern half of the province. But concerns over climate change and water conservation are forcing the industry to change. And Wonderville.ca is the new classroom for science learning. Tom Choi of Science Alberta Foundation talks about the development and attraction of this digital world. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Water usage continues to be a major concern for Albertans. In southern Alberta, irrigation projects that support agricultural activity are extremely important to the local economy. They also account for most of the water allocated in the South Saskatchewan River Basin. Rod Bennett is with the Resource Conservation Section of the Irrigation Branch of Alberta Agriculture, Food, and Rural Development. He co-chaired the recent Confronting Water Scarcity Conference in Lethbridge. And after his keynote address at the conference, I asked him to outline the water allocation situation in the South.
Most of our water originates as snowmelt in the Rocky Mountains. And southern Alberta, being a somewhat semi-arid environment, the South Saskatchewan River Basin is our main source of surface water. And again, that water comes from the melting of glaciers and snowpack in the Rocky Mountains that falls during the winter period, primarily. And about 7% of the water that flows from Alberta, the natural flow, happens within the South Saskatchewan River Basin. This basin includes about 120,000 square kilometer area that comprises about 18% of the province. So it is a relatively water-short area compared to the northern part of the province, where the majority of flows leave the province. We're somewhat unique in the south because it's an area that contains about half the population of Alberta. There's about 1.5 million people within the South Saskatchewan River Basin, about 50% of the population of the province, and about half the economic activity in Alberta occurs here in that South Saskatchewan River Basin. The other significant river basin in the southern part of the province is the Milk River Basin, which originates in the United States, flows for about 170 kilometers in Alberta, and then flows back into the U.S. Coming in, we get about 100,000 cubic decameters per year, and going out, there's about 160,000 cubic decameters. So the South Saskatchewan River Basin, by comparison, the long-term average natural flow from the province as it enters Saskatchewan is about 9 million cubic decameters. So we have to manage the water here very wisely. There's about 20,000 plus licenses and registrations that Alberta Environment have granted for various uses of the water. One of the main requirements for the water in Alberta is that we need to pass at least 50% of that through an apportionment agreement with Saskatchewan. And traditionally, in the last 25 years or so, we've been able to pass 75% of the natural flow to Saskatchewan, with the exception of a very dry year in 2001, when we only passed just over 50%. Of the water that is allocated, of the entire volume that has been licensed, about 75% of that water has been allocated to irrigation. And we have about 13 irrigation districts in the southern part of Alberta, and that represents about 65 to 70% of the irrigation in Canada. And there's more than 500,000 hectares in the irrigation districts, and with the private irrigation development projects, of which there are many in the South Saskatchewan River Basin, I think the total amount of irrigated land in Alberta is somewhere in that 640 to 650,000 hectare area. So in terms of irrigated agriculture, the crops that are produced, almost one half are still forage crops. There's about a third, again, that is in cereal crops. And then specialty crops make up the next largest portion of the crops that are grown for food processing and other use in southern Alberta.
So when you look at the major amount of usage of the water being in agriculture, what is going to happen to that over, say, the next decade? What are your concerns?
Well, studies have been going on the last few years particularly to look at the constraints on the water resource, looking at the flows that will be required to maintain an acceptable aquatic environment. We have in-stream objectives for each of the major river basins within the South Saskatchewan River Basin. That includes the Red Deer River to the north, the Bow River that passes through Calgary, and the Old Man River and the southern tributaries of the Old Man River, which supply the bulk of the water for the irrigation districts in the south. Right now we're in the process of developing an Alberta environment-led water management plan for the entire South Saskatchewan River Basin. And the key focus of this phase of that plan is the establishment of recommendations for water conservation objectives, or the amount of flow that needs to be left in the stream for protection of the aquatic environment. And these water conservation objectives will apply to any additional license allocations that are granted by Alberta Environment. And we see very limited opportunity for further allocations to irrigation. In fact, the government back in 1991 placed a cap on the amount of water that could be used for irrigation, both within the irrigation districts and for private irrigation projects. And most of those projects are approaching the limit that was established in 1991. And the irrigation districts particularly were promised that if they could improve the efficiency of their water conveyance and on-farm irrigation practices, then they would still be allowed to expand the area that they irrigate with the licensed allocations that they have. And so Alberta Agriculture has worked very closely with Alberta Environment in evaluating the potential for further irrigation expansion within the existing licenses. Again, without considering in detail the potential effects of climate change, it was estimated that the irrigation districts could expand up to 10% in the Old Man River Basin and from 10 to 20% in the Bow River Basin without additional risk being placed upon irrigation producers within those basins. Now, that was contingent upon, you know, certain levels of improvement in on-farm irrigation practices, as well as, you know, continued rehabilitation of the irrigation conveyance system, the canals and laterals that provide water to the turnouts at the farms.
You showed a number of graphs in your presentation, and one that really struck me when you were talking about allocations is that in the St. Mary River Basin, it was actually 118% allocated. How can you have something that's over 100% in terms of allocation?
Okay. The southern tributaries to the Old Man River have some of the oldest licenses that were ever granted in the province, and because those are tributaries to the Old Man River, the water allocation is looked at overall within the basin, and it has been recognized in reviewing the situation for the southern tributaries that we are at the limit of water allocation within those tributaries.
What does that really mean, though?
Okay, those numbers on the graph represented median flows within those river basins, so that's the 50 percentile of the historical flows for that river. So, you know, half of the years we have greater flows than that, and half we don't. So now Both the Old Man and the Bow River systems are, you know, nearing the limits of the water that is available for further allocation as well. And I think one of the real challenges in the next few years will be to determine, you know, how we're able to manage the existing water licenses in a way that will allow us to ensure protection of the aquatic environment and to allow some continued economic development within these basins. Because the real challenge is finding the right balance between development and that environmental protection. But both are very important.
Sounds as though the limits to growth have actually been reached.
That may be true to some extent, but certainly in the public input that was obtained in the water management planning process, there were four basin advisory committees that were established for each of the major river basins, the Red Deer, Bow, Old Man, and then the South Saskatchewan River main stem. It became quite apparent from the multitude of stakeholders that were represented on those basin advisory committees that there's still that desire to have a proper balance. And because our flow is so variable in the South Saskatchewan River Basin, there are still opportunities to capture some of that that high flow during the spring snowmelt period. And with sufficient storage, you know, even small projects like golf courses or other industrial projects have the opportunity to capture some water, to store it, and then be able to use it during the remainder of the growing season in order to achieve, you know, their economic objectives and without having serious adverse impacts upon the aquatic environment.
When you look at all the different agricultural activities in this area, there's feedlots and you have large food processing plants like for potatoes and other crops like that. What role does recycling or other alternative forms of dealing with water, what role do they play?
Well, one of the benefits of our whole water management system is that with the extensive network of infrastructure that has been developed, municipalities, it is estimated, generally return about 80% of the water that they divert after the sewage effluent is treated and released back into the river. The net impact on that river system is certainly not as great as for other uses. Irrigation districts, by comparison, generally return somewhere between 5 and 30% of the water that they divert. So even though they may have a license for a certain volume, it's the net effect upon the river that needs to be taken into consideration.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for speaking with me today.
That was Rod Bennett, a water conservation manager with the Irrigation Branch of Alberta Agriculture, Food and Rural Development. Rod was co-chair of the recent Confronting Water Scarcity Conference in Lethbridge. And you will find all the interviews I did with keynote speakers and scientists at the conference archived on the web at innovationalberta.com. Thank you. Professor Favor, Tommy Fitzgerald, and Crash the Robot are just three of the many characters who inhabit the virtual world of Wonderville.ca. Wonderville is the internet creation of the Science Alberta Foundation. It's just one more of the many projects the group has developed to engage young minds in the wonder of science. Tom Choi is the manager of digital initiatives at Science Alberta Foundation.
Well, Wonderville.ca is an interactive science community for kids. Now, let's start with the kids, because this group of kids is one of the first generations to grow up with computers. So they're as comfortable with computers as they are with an old pair of jeans. And because science is such an important aspect of our everyday lives, Science Alberta Foundation wanted to harness the power of technology and computers to give them an outlet where they can experience how science is expressed in everything they do around them.
Well, I've had a bit of a look at Wonderville.ca, and it's so neat because you've got all these different cartoon-like characters and different things that are happening there. What are the different characters? Why have you taken this theme?
Kids are so used to cartoons, for instance. That's a proven point of interest for kids. So we wanted to take the same sort of line and give kids people that they could relate to, characters similar to themselves, who are students, who are going through school, who have to do chores. We wanted to really give them something that they could make a connection with. So we have Tommy Fitzgerald, who is a sixth grader. He's an inventor. He likes to play games and is a programmer. We have Haley Little Moccasin, who's of actually Blackfoot and Cree descent, and she likes fancy dancing and she loves to play sports as well. One of the favorite characters on Wonderville is Crash. Crash is the resident robot. Now, he was built from spare parts in Professor Faber's laboratory. Professor Faber is another character on Wonderville. And the kids can always relate to Crash. He's always getting into trouble. He's got lots of curiosity. And he's a fantastic character that kids can relate to.
Does he crash the computer?
Hopefully not. But he does get into a lot of mischief on Wonderville, and you'll have to go visit to find out exactly what he does.
How did you get this thing set up?
Well, Wonderville has been around for a couple of years now. It started in 2002, so it was an ongoing project. So the idea was to just give them a fabulous place where they can engage in science. Now, we wanted to have a place that was not like anything else out there. So it's a 3D environment. It's highly engaging. It has these 3D animated characters. And with the emerging technologies of broadband technologies in Alberta with the SuperNet, for instance, the prevalence of computers at home, it was a natural place for Science Alberta Foundation to go into, where it could provide these great scientific experiments for kids. Science Alberta Foundation, as you know, has a Science in a Crate program, which is hands-on, and it was just a natural progression to go from hands-on into this emerging digital world.
Are you involved in the programming and the animation?
Science Alberta Foundation hires contractors to handle those types of aspects, so we want to partner with the best in industry. So we have a team of people who help us with the animation, the programming aspects. There's such a broad set of skills. It's quite hard to have all that encompassed in one person. And so we go into industry, into the workforce, and choose the best people to work with.
What are some of the activities that you have up on the Wonderville site?
Well, one great activity we have is called the Teepee activity. So in all of our activities, kids learn by doing. So they're not being lectured to. They actually get on the computer and they have to move things around, and they learn by trial and error. How the TP activity begins is we start with a concept. First of all, we have these great cast of characters on Wonderville. So that's a fantastic place to start. And in the TP activity, Haley Little Moccasin, who, as I said, is of Aboriginal descent, takes us on a field trip to a powwow where we get to see how a TP is built. Now, how this works back to the process is that from the concept, we do a storyboard. So we figure out the storyline. We, just like a cartoon, and a movie actually, we depict the scenes in a cartoon style. So the animators have a direction to work with. The programmers from there can go on and build interactivity with that activity. We test it with kids. We see that we gauge their reactions. We make any revisions. We also pass it by teachers, by parents, and we gauge their reactions. And once we're satisfied with the activity, we post it down to Wonderville. Now, this process probably takes around 3 to 4 months per activity, so it's quite an intensive process and involves a large team of people with many diverse skill sets.
If the kids are going to Wonderville and they're doing the teepee activity and they're learning how to build a teepee, what would be the point of that? Because it's not like we build teepees every day.
Right, Cheryl. The point of learning how to build a teepee is that they're really learning the scientific principles behind building anything, and such as, you know, how a tripod. A tripod is the basic structure you need to have a freestanding structure, and how a tripod is a very strong structure. How different types of materials can be used to combine poles. For instance, the Aboriginals used rope in their teepees, but in today we use nails, we use glue, we use different types of construction materials. So these scientific principles used in this ancient structure are still relevant in today's construction industry, and it's very important for students, for children and youth, if they enter into the construction trades, to know that these scientific principles are still being used and are still relevant in today's construction world. Having this understanding is extremely important to interest kids to enter into trade instructions, and this will help build an innovative and strong and prosperous province.
That's the teepee activity. What are some of the other ones that you have?
Well, we currently have 10 activities on Wonderville. Our latest activity is called Robot Factory. And in Robot Factory, we learn about the scientific principles behind wheels and levers and how these scientific principles are involved all around us. That's one of the activities. We also have activities involved in air and aerodynamics, so the principles of flight. We have an activity that's involved in also levers called the trebuchet. So we have a medieval catapult, and we actually try to attack a castle with different types of materials. It's always a favorite with kids. We also have an activity called Energy Street that deals with electricity and the type of power we use around prime time during the winter and the energy requirements around that. So there's quite a few of them, but I don't want to tell you about them all because that's the fun of it. I want you to go visit Wonderville and come for a visit and explore and see what you find in Wonderville.
Going a little further behind the scenes, how does it work with all the different graphic designers and the computer programs to take your ideas and concepts and storyboards and make all of these things happen?
Well, it's some of the technology involved. We want Wonderville to be free and accessible online, so on the web. So in order to do that, we utilize a lot of free plugins. So that, as a starting point, we use Flash Player, which is a really accessible and common plugin online for animation. We use QuickTime for movies. We also use Adobe Acrobat and some of these technologies. So all of these are free. So what we do is we take our storyboard. The animation is done in 3D Studio Max, which is a 3D rendering program. And when you're working with 3D Max, for instance, the town of Wonderville, it's just like any building process. You have to build each of these houses. You have to build the walls, the roof. Then you have to paint them. You have to decide what color each of these walls is going to be, what color the grass is. You actually have to paint them, and then you assemble each of these houses into a town. So once each of these objects has been created, then a developer or programmer comes in and works to build the interactivity. So Wonderville 3D is a place where you can visit the town. You're on an avatar. You get to go into the different buildings. You get to go into the school. You get to go into the library, into the secret hideout under Nancy's house.
I like that one.
And it's in a gaming concept, because kids are used to games and they know games. So we've taken all the fun aspects of games and added all the scientific learning in a different way. So it's a great way for them to interact.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part of being involved in Wonderbill is the creativity aspects. It's coming up with these ideas, and again, we're dealing with kids, so we can be right out there. And what do kids want? So I think for me, the best part is to figure out, okay, what's our next activity going to be? You know, which characters are going to use? What are they going to do? And how are we going to get kids really engaged in science learning? So that's for me the best part.
What's coming up next for Wonderbill, or is that a big secret?
Well, Wonderbill has continual development going on, so we always want to add more. And that's actually part of the scientific process, so always trying to find new way of doing things. So in the new Wonderbill, coming up in Wonderbill, we've got a game concept in Light and Shadows, and the inspiration behind this game was kind of a security system. You know, when you see a movie and they've got lasers around some valuable object and someone has to defeat this security system to get to this object. So that's what the next concept is going to be. So Tommy will be asked to, as a white hat, as a good guy, asked to test these security systems for Nancy Faber. And you have to use the principles of light and shadows, such as mirrors, such as prisms to reflect colors, such as, you know, hand glasses to focus light, to break through these systems and learn. So they'll learn about the principles of light and shadows and how, you know, these principles are also, again, around us in everyday lives.
You know, you've talked about people who are coming to Wonderbill as being kids, but is it really just kids that are coming to this website?
That's a great question. And what we've really found, Cheryl, is that while our target audience for Wonderbill is children and youth ages 8 through 12, we found that kids as young as 4 and grandparents as old as 94 is interested in Wonderbill. It's really neat. It has, science learning is fun, and it has such a broad appeal to the general audience. So Wonderbill has been hugely successful in that fashion.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's been a pleasure.
That was Tom Choi, Manager of Digital Initiatives at the Science Alberta Foundation. You'll find Crash and Tommy and all their buddies on the web at wonderville.ca. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Science Alberta Foundation, University of Lethbridge, Alberta Ingenuity, Alberta Pacific Forest Industries, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Ducks Unlimited Canada, ICOR, the Informatic Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Research Council, and Alberta Conservation Association. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.